Good morning, everyone. This is John Alls again, and I want to welcome you back this morning on behalf of Independence Baptist Church. We are very thankful that the Lord has allowed us to have this broadcast, and we pray that it's been a blessing and an encouragement for you. Now, last week, we started talking about the topic of eternal security and what eternal life actually means to the believer. Now, Pastor Reynolds started last week with four different points, and he also started by sharing with you some about his own personal experience with this very important topic. So let's listen in this morning as Pastor Reynolds shares more points about eternal security of the believer.
Last Sunday, we began a message on the eternal safety and security of all blood-bought believers. We brought out four points last Sunday. Point number one was that God purposed before the foundations of the world to give unto His children eternal life. Point number two is that God promised He would give eternal life to all of His children. And then point number three is that believers receive eternal life from the Lord Jesus Christ. And point number four was that believers now have everlasting life from the hand of the Father. So we're grateful to know that God has purposed, that He has promised, that He has given, and now believers have everlasting life. But it doesn't stop there. There's something else. Notice in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 27 and verse 28, that believers will never perish. The thing is doubly sure. The Bible states, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand." John chapter 5, verse 24 states, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." No matter what may befall us in the future, no matter what temptations may come upon us, no matter what the works of the devil, no matter if Satan throw us down and wallow us in the mire, we do not again come into condemnation. We are passed from death unto life. We have eternal life. The Bible states, "We shall never perish." That is God's promise that He gives to all His children. Notice another point, that believers are not under the condemnation of the law. The Bible states in Romans chapter 6 and verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Notice in the Romans chapter 4, verse 7 and verse 8, saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Sin is a major problem for all believers. The Bible never says that saved people do not sin. The Bible says over and over and over again that the sins of saved people are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is where our surety is. That is where our confidence is. Not in us. Rather, it is in what Jesus Christ has done for us. Notice the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Notice those words in 2 Corinthians 5:19 very carefully. It is because Christ has reconciled us unto Himself. It is because Christ does not impute our trespasses unto ourselves. Rather, Christ has taken our sins upon himself, and we have a word of reconciliation that is from God himself. This is a wonderful thing. Notice Romans chapter 8, verse 33 and verse 34. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Saved people do sin, but who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that has made us right. Who is it that condemns us? It is Christ that has died for us and is now sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, and it is Christ who is presently making intercession for us. Could anything be made any stronger or any plainer? Do these scriptures that I've read need any comment? The believer, the blood-bought believer, is not under the condemnation of the law. Rather, we are under the blood of Jesus Christ, having been saved by his omnipotent supreme grace. Sin, the Bible states, is not imputed where there is no law. Jesus Christ has become our substitute. The book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 states, he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Speaking there about the cross of Calvary and how that Jesus Christ gave his life that we might have eternal life, that life that never ends. Notice in the book of Isaiah 53, two verses, the Bible states, the Lord hath laid on him, that is, upon Christ, the iniquity of us all. The Bible also states there, with his stripes we are healed. How encouraging these passages are. How strengthening they are to us. How comforting, how glorious are these scriptures. To know that Christ has paid the price for our sins. He has given to us his righteousness, taken our sins upon himself. Do these things, do these scriptures make us careless or reckless or foolish? Do these scriptures make us willing or desiring to sin? Notice Romans chapter 6 and verse 15. Paul answers this question. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. What a contrast it is to think that there are those folks that say, well, if I believed I had eternal life and I would never perish, then I would go and sin all that I want to. The fact of the matter is that every believer will tell you they sin more than they want to now. We're thankful that our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is Christ's righteousness that we wear, not our own. It is to the glory of God that we live, and not unto our own glory. Now, let's look at another point. The Bible states emphatically that Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. Notice some plain passages. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 is perhaps the plainest of all. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Notice Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5 through 8. To deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. Now listen. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Notice also Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The Bible states over and over and over again that salvation is wholly of God. The keeping of our salvation is wholly of God. If we believe that we can lose our salvation, we are calling God a liar when He gives to us eternal life. We fail to recognize that God is the author and the finisher of our faith. It is God who began this good work in us, and it is God who will finish that good work. Even the faith with which we believe in God is a gift given to us by God. The Bible states in Ephesians 2, verse 8, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is absolutely unthinkable. It is inconceivable that God, who knows men today, what he will be tomorrow and what he will be in all the future, would give him faith to believe, would begin in him a good work, and then leave it unfinished. Began and leave off as if God did not know what was on his own mind. Began and leave off as if he were playing with a child, playing with the question of salvation, or playing with the eternal souls of men, playing with heaven and hell, just playing with eternity. No. Listen, God is not that way. We cannot even imagine God being such a way. Behind God's beginning in the salvation of a sinner, or his eternal purpose and promise, he will finish that which he has begun and which he has given to believers now.
You know, it's amazing the number of verses and passages that encourage the believer in the power of God to keep us. And one of my own personal favorite verses, which Pastor Reynolds read last week, was in John chapter 10, where it talks about no man being able to pluck us out of his hand. But at the same time, it's also amazing the number of verses that talk about how we should live our lives before God, and the fact that when we are saved, we should have a burden to live in a way that's pleasing to Him. You know, so there is a lot to this topic of eternal security. And not only do we have eternal security, but what does it mean in our lives, and should it change the way we live our lives? You know, so I hope that as we've done these first few messages that that we've maybe answered some of your questions already about eternal life. And if you have additional questions, feel free to call us and leave us a message at 636-673-2180. Leave us your question and your contact information, and we will get back to you as soon as we can. We do want to thank you for listening today, and we also want to invite you to attend our church services. They start Sunday morning, and they include a Sunday school class, a song service, and then preaching that starts at 10 o'clock. We also have Sunday afternoon services, which include a prayer meeting at 4, and then some singing and preaching, which goes from 4:30 to 5:30. For directions or for more information about us, you can log on to our website, which is www.independencebaptist.org. And from the website, you can read many of the different books and articles that Pastor Reynolds has written, as well as listen to many of the messages that have been preached here at Independence Baptist Church. Well, thanks again for listening this week, and be sure and tune in again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message on the eternal security of the believer.